As we turn to our scriptures this morning, let us first pause and offer a word of prayer. Let's pray. God of all hope, we ask that you send your spirit to this place, that our reading of your word may be blessed and become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Let us listen now for the word of God. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the prophet Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along on page 631 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wouldn't have predicted that I would ever quote the band Aerosmith in a sermon, but lately I'm not counting on myself for my ability to predict. A couple of weeks ago, with post-election thoughts swirling through my head and these words from the prophet Isaiah swirling among them, I searched on my car radio for something loud and compelling. And I found just that with the song "Living on the Edge." Now, of course, being me, I didn't realize it was Aerosmith until I Googled it later that morning. But I did recognize the song. The opening words of that song are what caught me and what have stayed with me. There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Living on the edge. Living on the edge. Something is wrong with the world today. One thing that we know that is wrong is all the war, all the armed conflicts in our world. Currently, there are 43 conflicts in which this year or last year, over 100 people have been killed. In just four of those spots, Afghanistan, Iraq, surrounding area for Boko Haram, and Syria, in just those four, nearly 70,000 have died in 2016 alone. Then we add in the nearly 33,000 deaths in our own nation due to gun violence annually. We easily top 100,000 violent and war-related deaths just in 2016. 100,000 men and women, friends and lovers, boys and girls, sisters and brothers, sons and daughters, 100,000 children of God. There's something wrong with the world today. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't His. Over 60 years ago, a great five-star general and then president of our country, Dwight Eisenhower, shared his hopes in a 1953 speech called A Chance for Peace. On his tomb are inscribed some of the words from that speech. He said, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired, signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who are hungry and not fed, those who are cold and not clothed." But some 60 plus years later, we continue taking from those who are hungry, those who are cold. By some estimates, hunger in this world could be eradicated if countries put together $100 billion, just $100 billion. In 2015, to put into context, the U.S. put $609.3 billion into military spending. President Eisenhower's words have mostly gone unheeded, as have the prophet Isaiah's. In such a world as this, we hear the prophet Isaiah pontificating about the mountain of the Lord's house and how all nations will stream to it, how the peoples shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, nation not lifting up sword against nation. 43 current armed conflicts and war zones, nation not lifting up sword against nation seems naive, seems like pie in the sky. In days to come, Isaiah wrote, some 2,800 years ago, yeah, right, we think. As much as we may long for a day when weapons are laid down, when hearts are transformed and people are drawn together, we find it hard to believe that such a day will actually come. We join with Mary, seeing only impossibilities, and blurt out the question with her, how can this be? The idea of peace seems so far away. The role of a prophet is to share with the people of God God's vision for the world and to draw the people into that vision. Isaiah does that well as he describes vividly the world that is to come, people streaming to the Lord's house on that mountain, yearning to learn God's ways, yearning to walk in God's paths. Workers beating swords and spears, implements of war, beating them into plowshares and pruning hooks, implements for peace, for tending the land and feeding the people. Through the prophet's descriptions, we begin to feel drawn in. We begin to feel our hearts leap, For we too yearn to follow God's ways, to walk in God's path. We too yearn for others to discover God's ways. Through the prophet's descriptions, we begin to see another way, to see God's way. We know that there's something wrong with the world today. We know that God's way is different from the way of the world. As one scholar reminds us, the world is not our source of authority, and it is not the source of hope for the future. The world is the source of conflict, the sword, the spear, the makings of war. In Advent, we lift our sight beyond the challenges and the crises of our own time. We lift our sight to participate with the generations since Isaiah in the hope of a world transformed by the final goal of peace and harmony, that goal towards which God is indeed moving us. That's the prophet's role, to lift our sight beyond this world, so that we not only catch a glimpse of God's vision for the world, but we yearn to work for that world, knowing that we are invited to participate in such a reality. As we hear Isaiah on this first Sunday of Advent, in this world in which much isn't right, we are reminded that God invites us to live toward that day to come. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. However hard it may be to believe that a new longed-for reality will take hold someday, there is power in walking in God's light now, one step at a time. One step at a time. St. Louis University has a small Jesuit chapel, which is creatively lit. The light fixtures are made up of 20th century cannon shells, which have been converted. Emptied of their lethal content, they now hold light by which people can pray. In such light, we pray and live, one step at a time. One step at a time, we find ways during our Thanksgiving week conversations to focus on the love and shared experiences our family has with one another, rather than the political differences. One step at a time, we commit to reaching out to a neighbor or a church member who is different from us, skin color, orientation, political views, economic stability, and we commit to hearing their story to help understand where they're coming from. One step at a time. We share financial gifts on Giving Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, with organizations which work towards God's vision of wholeness for all of God's children and creation. The work of one company, Article 22, was featured in a spot on Giving Tuesday this week on the PBS NewsHour. This group, Article 22, makes bracelets out of unexploded mines in Laos. The United States dropped 270 million bombs on Laos between 1964 and 1973. More bombs per person, per country, than in any other war. Many of those bombs never exploded. Over the years, thousands of Laotians have been killed or injured, farmers tending their field, children playing. As President Obama said on his recent visit to Laos this fall, the wounds, a missing arm or leg, last a lifetime. An estimated 80 million unexploded bombs still remain on the land. I can hear the prophet saying, they shall beat their bombs into bracelets. Nations shall not drop bombs against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. supporting the work of Article 22 on Giving Tuesday and beyond, and supporting other groups and agencies working to bring God's vision to reality, is working one step at a time. Today is the first Sunday of our alternative giving here at Highland. Once again, we are supporting our sisters and brothers in Malawi as they gain access to clean water. Unsafe water and lack of basic sanitation kills more people annually than all forms of violence, including war. Our goal for this year is 15 shallow wells. Last year, you all shared generously to provide 13 wells, so we know that we can do it, one step at a time. Bringing dinner and sharing radical hospitality at the overflow shelter one Monday night. Christmas caroling for some of Highland's homebound members, purchasing fair trade products like coffee, sugar, or chocolate, raking leaves for a neighbor, reaching out to a loved one with simple but powerful words, "I forgive you," or "I'm sorry," one step at a time. Friends, something's wrong with the world today. But we know that our call is to do something about that. We know that God has invited us to live toward the day when all will walk in God's light. Yes, God holds the future, and we are to move towards that beautiful day, whether we can see it or not, one step at a time, trusting that enough light lies ahead. O Highland, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us pray.